On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You have aligned to Democratic Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse. Recently, she took part in a roundtable discussion on the challenges facing the childcare industry. Do you have a daycare provider? How has it been in the pandemic? Do you run a childcare center? Are you able to stay staffed up and keep your doors open? What could lawmakers do to support Wisconsin working families with children? 800-642-1234. Jill Billings is a representative for Wisconsin's 95th Assembly District. Representative Billings, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you met with State Senator Brad Paff and State Department of Children and Family Secretary Emily Amundson in La Crosse to look at child care issues. What did you learn?
Well, it was very interesting. We met earlier in the afternoon and talked to businesses and economic development groups, our Chamber of Commerce, and had a roundtable discussion learning about how lack of childcare is affecting them with their workforce. And then later in the afternoon, we visited with childcare providers and we learned about the challenges that they have really with that kind of razor thin margin that they have in being able to stay open in business and search for teachers, lack of people who are going into the profession. And it's a challenge here in Wisconsin, like in most of the United States.
Yeah. You know, according to the National Association for the Education of Young Children, about 3 out of 4 childcare centers in Wisconsin reported staffing shortages in the association's data that came out last month. What is childcare staffing like in your region?
Well, it's a challenge, as I said earlier. Childcare centers have trouble paying teachers a lot of money because, of course, they have to pass that charge on to parents. And so parents are we're living in a situation where some of them are paying double what they pay for their mortgage each month just to keep their kids in childcare so that they can both parents can be in the workforce. So more women and men and grandparents actually are ending up staying home with kids. And those are people that we really need to have working in the workforce. Teachers in the daycare centers, because they're not paid very much because daycare centers can't pass that on to the parents, they're not making a lot of money. So they could go places, for example, like Quick Trip, and increase their salaries. I heard about one woman who was working at Starbucks part-time to help supplement her job working with children. So she made enough money and got some benefits at Starbucks serving coffee, and that enabled her to do the work that she really wanted to do, which was taking care of children.
Wow.
Which is such important work.
Yeah. Good, safe, quality childcare is expensive, as you said. And when a family is spending as much or more on childcare as they do on their rent or their mortgage, what should lawmakers do as a first step to fixing this problem?
Well, I am working on creating a summer study committee with Representative Pat Snyder, who is the chair of the Children and Family Committee. I'm the ranking member on that committee, and I've done a lot of research and studying in the last couple years on things that we could do in Wisconsin to help this situation, things that other states are looking at. And these Legislative Council summer study committees, I think, are a really good opportunity to do a deeper dive into a subject area where we have legislators around the table, senators and representatives, Republicans and Democrats, and also stakeholders. So in my mind, we'd have advocates, people like WECA. We'd have daycare providers who are the big centers, daycare providers who provide home daycare. And hear from people around the state and then come up with legislation. We'd meet several times over this summer and come up with legislation to help with this situation. And when 54% of Wisconsinites live in a child care desert, we know that this is really an issue that needs attention.
And when you say a summer study, you would mean next summer?
This coming summer. So we've worked on putting our proposal together. I actually had submitted a similar proposal 2 years ago, but because of COVID, we were not able to have those type of committees in the way we have in the past. So looking toward this summer, we're going to submit a proposal with updated information on it. And we're hopeful that it will be selected as a committee this summer, and we'll be able to sit down and have some really good dialogue, look at the research, look at options for what we can do to help parents and employers with this issue.
We're talking about childcare, family issues with Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse. You can join in with your sentiment, 800-642-1234. President Biden wants to permanently extend the federal child tax credit that was part of his American Rescue Plan. And you've said Wisconsin would greatly benefit from this tax credit. Should Wisconsin use its own tax dollars to provide more tax credits for parents if the federal credit expires?
Well, I think it's interesting that we're starting to, the federal government and on the state government level too, we're starting to look at child care as infrastructure. Right? Child care, we need good quality, affordable, accessible child care to keep our economy running. And so I appreciate the efforts that the federal government has put in and proposed efforts for the future. And we're definitely keeping our eye on what's happening on the federal government as we go forward planning and with what we can do on the state level too.
Earlier this month, you were walking your district. You did an event that started with participants on the campus of UW-La Crosse. You fanned out to neighboring, you know, the local area there. What issues came up? What did you talk about?
Well, I always enjoy being on campus. I'm lucky to have a district that includes Viterbo University, a private university, Western Technical College, and UW-La Crosse. And that that student engagement is such great energy in our community. So I was invited to go on campus with a group of students who are really working in a nonpartisan way to encourage students to be involved and to vote and to learn more about government and how their government worked. So we talked about redistricting. They were interested in what's happening with maps and the process in Madison. So we talked a little bit beforehand. We walked campus and talked about what it means to be a campus ward, the importance of keeping that kind of special interest population together so that students have a representative on our city council, they have a representative on our county board, and that their voice is heard, of course, in this on the state level too. And it was it's always great. It's always great to be on campus talking with students.
You mentioned redistricting, and Governor Evers told Republicans to start over on their redistricting maps last week, saying that they have to do better if they expect him to sign onto the maps. What is your reaction to the proposed maps?
Well, everybody, I think, well, most people in Wisconsin, they want fair maps. And the problem is when you start with a map, as Republicans did, that was gerrymandered during the last round. It's hard to get fair maps out of that. So I'm a believer that voters should decide who their representatives are. Representatives shouldn't be trying to gerrymander voters into districts and choose their voters. Voters should be able to decide on representatives. So I think ultimately the courts will probably be deciding these districts. And I've always supported and continue to support independent redistricting process in Wisconsin.
And a public hearing is set for Thursday before, you know, Republicans vote on those maps next month. What do you want to see out of the public hearing?
Well, I'll be listening in certainly on those hearings, and I expect that many people will be testifying that they want fair maps and that there was a process over the last several months where people, regular citizens, looked at maps and put in suggestions for maps and created a set of maps that were in most view of experts who look at this type of thing, they think that those are more fair maps. I'll be interested to hear what people have to say.
I want to touch on homelessness here. Earlier this month, you spoke out against a proposal from Assembly Republicans that would make living on public property a misdemeanor, and you say it could stress jails and courts. How should the legislature respond to people living on public property?
Yeah, this is an issue that really our La Crosse County, the city of La Crosse, advocates like Cooley Cap and Citizen Action Program and Habitat for Humanity. There's been so much work done in our area on this issue. And of course, there's more to be done. And so many communities struggle with this issue. But the problem with the housing package that was introduced by Republicans is that it was really fast tracked. There was, like, I think 1 week from it being a draft to coming to hearings. My colleagues on that committee had to vote on those projects without even seeing a fiscal note, which is, I think, never a good process. So one of the bills is the bill that you're mentioning that would, yeah, criminalize people living on public lands. Now, I understand that this is a problem, but I will tell you that criminalizing people who are staying on public lands will only exacerbate that problem. So whether you fine someone or give them a charge, homeless people are not going to be able to pay a $500 fine. And so what's going to happen, what I'm concerned about is that it's going to really fill up jails and our justice system with people who are homeless and don't have the ability to pay fines. And I'm telling you, housing people in our jails, our local jails, that is not a good solution to that problem. That's a very expensive solution to this problem.
We're discussing how to support families, other bills that Representative Jill Billings is working to advance. She represents La Crosse and French Island. Are you worried about PFAS pollution? What would you suggest for well sampling and pollution remediation? Are you drinking bottled water? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have a Democratic Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse, a city like others around Wisconsin struggling with PFAS pollution. Thousands of residents on French Island are provided bottled water by the state without an end date. And lawsuits have been filed by both residents and the city. According to the DNR, hundreds of private wells across the state have been impacted by forever chemicals. What action do you want on PFAS or other environmental and climate initiatives? What do lawmakers need to know about your drinking water? 800-642-1234. Representative Jill Billings with us for about 10 more minutes. Give us a sense of the PFAS pollution your constituents are facing in La Crosse and the French Island area.
Well, I imagine what it would be like in my home where suddenly I learn that there's a chemical that's coming out of my faucet, out of my shower, that is odorless, tasteless, and is a forever chemical that is very dangerous for humans. It can create cancers and other problems. That's what happened to people in part of my district. Now, the DNR is providing water for people, as you said, but I've talked to people who may have children who have had issues with cancer, people who were hoping to sell their houses for good prices for part of their retirement package, and all of a sudden, they have a lot of questions and a lot of stress over this. So what we really need is a comprehensive package to regulate and address PFAS in Wisconsin. The governor had that included in the budget. It was taken out by joint finance.
That nearly $26 million in funding for testing systems and remediation, adding PFAS staffers at the DNR. Is that what you're mentioning here?
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And my colleagues and I reintroduced that as the CLEAR Act. So it allows for testing. It hires more positions to do investigating and testing in Wisconsin so people don't have to wait so long to get their test results. It includes addressing PFAS and setting standards for PFAS. And it's something that really we need to address now. All eyes should be on this because I'll tell you, it happening, we have PFAS in Campbell in large part because of testing that or test or practice that was done with this firefighting foam that we're required by the FAA to have on hand at our airport, and our firefighters practice with it and they've had to use it on an occasion or two. And so anyone in the state who has private wells or public wells around an airport could be an issue. And I think we're seeing now the tip of the iceberg. Our sister city of Eau Claire now has issues with PFAS in their municipal wells around their airports in an industrial area. And I think we're going to see more and more of this. And I have a sense of urgency about this, that we really need to get a hearing on these bills. They were introduced back in May and June, and we've got to get going on this. I am happy to see that the federal government is doing some work on PFAS too. So that is very helpful as we go forward.
Yeah, so you're seeing that as the EPA moves on this issue, you find that in Wisconsin legislatively, that might give you more of a leg up?
Well, I think that if the federal government has, they created this roadmap on addressing PFAS, including creating standards and looking at sources of PFAS. I mean, all that will, I believe, absolutely help with our initiatives that we're hopefully be able to do here if we can get a hearing on this legislation and get it passed through.
Should private companies be held responsible for the PFAS pollution and pay for remediation?
Well, unfortunately, there was a bill that was introduced by my colleagues on the other side that said that people who had PFAS in their area could receive grants from the state, but then they would have no legal recourse, I think, against the polluters. And I think that was a terrible bill. And I'm so happy that the governor vetoed that bill. I think everything has to be on the table with this issue.
We're talking with Representative Jill Billings, whose district includes La Crosse and French Island. You can join in with your questions, your concerns about PFAS where you are, 800-642-1234. Representative, just one more question here. How long do you think, what is the timeline for thousands of your constituents to be drinking bottled water?
Well, I was just actually out at the town of Campbell last week visiting at the town hall, and they're going ahead with a plan to try to bring municipal water in, but not everybody can do that. Some of these wells that are polluted in our area and other areas are actually municipal wells, which leads to extra challenges. So the town of Campbell is moving forward with plans to try to provide safe drinking water in the future to everybody out on the island.
How much does, you know, Wisconsin need to set aside in terms of the money to address this issue? What would be, you know, what would you suggest?
Well, I think that's a, we'll have to see as we go along, and hopefully there'll be federal money coming for this too. This is, again, as I said before, I believe we're seeing the tip of the iceberg on this in Wisconsin.
You're part of a group reintroducing safe harbors legislation this year. We've seen it in past years prohibiting minors from being charged with prostitution. Why is this particular piece of legislation important to reintroduce?
Well, this is a piece of legislation that was requested by one of my constituents right after I was elected. We were at a conference on human trafficking and they said, can't we do something about this? So my staff and I did research into human trafficking, and I've traveled all over the state to talk to people about human trafficking. Children are trafficked in all 72 counties in Wisconsin. And children, especially those who are at risk, who are vulnerable youths, who have troubled backgrounds, many are homeless or drug dependent. And there's an estimate by the U.S. Department of Justice Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force that estimates 70 to 90% of youth victims have histories of sexual abuse. So these are our children that need our care. They need our protection. And current law says that when law enforcement will find a child in a situation of human trafficking, the child can be charged with prostitution. Now, this leaves a label that follows that child when they're trying to get on the right track, whether it's filling out FAFSA forms for college or applications for jobs. And suddenly there's that box that they check. Have you been in legal trouble before? And this is just wrong. It's just wrong. It's illegal to have sex with a child in Wisconsin. It's against the law. But for some reason, when that money changes hands, and most often that money goes to someone who's trafficking the child, suddenly that child is in a position where they can be charged as a criminal. Mm. We know that in our neighboring states who have passed safe harbor, the kids who are brought in are much more likely to give information on the traffickers, the people who are selling them. Now, those are the people that we really want to see with a sentence. We don't want to see these children having a sentence.
Representative,
go ahead.
Representative Billings, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Jill Billings, representative for Wisconsin's 95th Assembly District. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.